Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of Football Manager Therapy. I'm your host, Rich O. What? Where are we? Kev?
I have no idea what's going on. This is weird. You're not Rich Owens.
Oh, okay.
That's all I know so far.
Yep.
Where is Rich Owens?
I think he said he was popping out to the shops, and then he's not really come back. No. Yeah. We tell a lie. He's out camping for the weekend on a family holiday. And I thought, because I'm in a hotel room in Berlin, look at this fantastic environment for visual viewers on YouTube, I thought we can get a podcast out this week. Let's try it. And then Callum went, no, I'm busy. Which, I mean, he just has a weird dislike for me, Callum. I don't understand
it.
I try my hardest to be really nice with him, and he's just that way. But anyway,
I've seen the efforts you've made. I really have, you know. Yeah. I don't know what we can do. We're working on it. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, precisely. But I'm obviously Jebaru. I am out here in Berlin, and I am on a ropey-ish setup. The camera is definitely not propped on two saucepans, two books, and something else. I can't actually remember what. But yeah, welcome to the podcast. And I'm joined by Kev. How are you, Kev?
I'm doing great. And to be totally truthful, Jeb, your setup out in Berlin is probably better than most people's setups they stream and record stuff on anyway.
Oh, yeah,
so I think we're doing all right. But, absolutely.
I've definitely not got a load of borrowed equipment. I mean, this commentator's headset definitely is mine, yeah.
And, obviously. And yeah, absolutely.
The fancy technology that I've got with it.
But I'm good. I'm doing well. It's been a real fun week. And it's a really strange podcast to be recording without the other guys. But I'm happy to be here, and I hope you're well over in that there Germany.
I think we'll do a save update this week, but we'll do a mini save update because I've not played as much. But I started playing a couple of days ago onto the Pescara save. I thought I'll get on with it. I think where I last left it, we were pushing for Champions League places, and we were doing really, really well. We just couldn't find a goal scorer, and we had issues getting this goal scorer in. With the defense was quite solid, we were pushing 40 points by December, which was amazing. So we got to the winter break and we're in the top four, pushing for Europe. It's like, here we go. And then I got to
That's got to be above expectation, surely.
Oh, yeah. Top half was the expectation. We finished ninth the last two seasons, missed out on Europe narrowly.
Nice.
But then we kept going, like I said, trying to find this goal scorer. And then I spotted Pinamonti, the Italian striker at Sassuolo. Spotted him. He'd scored five goals in the last five seasons, and I picked him up for 1.2 million, which was great. And plays in his first game against Inter Milan, gets two goals. Fantastic, great start, we win. Next game, gets a hat trick. Brilliant, there you go. He scored as many goals in two games as he has done the last five seasons. I actually put a clause in, I think the clause in the contract he scored. Once he scored 10 goals, I have to give them another half a million. I have to give him that half a million within six games because he scored that many. But then he's also very varied as well. It really, really frustrates me. He would either score two or three goals, or he'd get 6.1. And that was it. There was no middle ground. It was crazy. Uh-huh. So we did all right there. And as I was saying, before I went into work yesterday, so I played through games, went seven unbeaten. We were second in the league, absolutely dominating. I think Juventus had run away already pretty much with the league, and all the also rans were in there, AC Milan, Inter, Napoli, Roma, who are still our parent club, which is just crazy for Pescara. And I went into work, and it's quite quiet this week at work, so we're doing a group stage where all the players are playing at home, and then whoever qualifies, they come over to Berlin. So we're pretty free in the thing. We just have to make sure the streams are up and running, the players are all happy. So it's quite simple on my side of things, just a little bit behind the curtain. So I thought, I'll load up Pescara and play Pescara while I'm at work. I lost eight in a row. Eight games in a row. Pescara's worst run ever. And it's completely plummeted for no reason whatsoever. And
you turned the computer off and on again. That's what did it, isn't it?
Honestly, I nearly did do save scumming, but no, I resisted. I resisted. So we're now eighth. So we're now outside the European places. I think Genoa are just above us, and obviously all the other big six are ahead of us as well. And I think Genoa have beaten us as well. So hey, the just for your benefit, as we'll find out later, Serie A works on head-to-head. So just so you know, doesn't matter with your goal difference.
Interesting.
So we're sat in eighth. I think we've got four games left in the season, so it is a bit of a last minute. But it's the issue that I've got still with Pescara is the stadium's not big enough, so we can't get any bigger. We have a parent club who we were above for half the season in Roma. I mean, we quite often beat Roma anyway.
Right.
And it's just getting to that stage where it's like, this season might make or break me. It's, I think, another ninth place finish, three seasons in a row.
Yeah.
I don't know how much further I can go, but we'll see. I mean, I'm enjoying it still. I'm enjoying like the youth players that are coming through, but it just get, I think I raised it last time, it gets to that point sometimes in the same, and you're just like, do I want to do something else now? I mean, there's obviously the Morecambe FMT challenge that sat there. I might go and have a dabble with that and see how much you can ruin financial fair play in about 4 seconds by the sounds of things, because you signed one player.
Yeah,
but I think as a whole, like, Pescara has been a great journey, but I'm hoping it continues, but I'm not sure at the minute. But speaking of Italy, I believe you've made some movements.
Well, yeah, it's been quite odd, hasn't it? The last couple of weeks. The last update I gave was I was trying to get out of Hungary and into Serbia, hypothetically, if we remember that.
Hypothetically, I remember
and,
that
and then we did. And I gave a very small update the week after saying, basically, I got out of Hungary and into Serbia, which was lovely. Got the job at Svena Zvezda, which is basically Red Star Belgrade, is how they now prefer to be called, as it were, in their native tongue, Svena Zvezda, and got the job there. And they were three times champion in a row before I showed up. And then their manager went to manage in Germany, in Freiburg. So it meant the job became available just at the point I was walking into the country. So it was very, very lovely. Very, very good timing. I was very happy with that. And actually did something I don't usually do, if I'm totally honest. So this time around, my main focus has been trying to perfect a 4-4-2 sort of system with a target forward and other bits and pieces. But when I walked into Svena Zvezda and they were three times champion and they didn't quite have the facilities player-wise for me to do it, I just thought, well, I'm going to plug something in for a season and just see how good they are and see where the balance lies and whether I can get a tune out of this squad. And so we chucked in a gegenpress in a 4-3-3 type situation and just tweaked a couple of little bits of it. And they went off on one because they're the best team in the league, basically. We started really well, green dots all over the place. There were no major problems at all. And it just never really stopped. Until about the last quarter of the season, where it just went a little bit iffy for a while. But for 37 games, we basically lost about 4 or 5 of them across all competitions. Wow. I won the cup in Serbia. I did all right in the Champions League group stage, but we had some very tricky games and went out of that in the group stage there. And then we won the league at a canter in the end. I mean, at one point, we were about 24 points clear, but it did come back and hit about 15 points again in that sort of last quarter where it wasn't quite working out. You know that thing where ultimately your team plays brilliantly all season, and then when the title is on the horizon, they just think, maybe I'm a little bit scared of that prospect.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure that they really had the sort of the gumption about them to really play under that pressure, but we just about did it. We got through a bit of a bad spell and we won it at a canter, and it was a lovely, lovely season in a lot of ways, because I've had a lot of stress and strain along the way at times in various countries. So to walk into a club that is kind of ready made and ready set up for one season and just have a go and put them out there and watch them play some pretty good football was a lovely thing. Egbe Dion, a striker that I had, just never stopped scoring. I actually found, and I hadn't figured this before I got into the club, I hadn't sort of actually just made a mental note of it. When I got into Svena Zvezda, two of my old players were there.
Oh, fantastic.
I had a central defender that we'd renamed Snickerdoodle McFluffernutter, and he was there. And I had a right-sided winger from Brazil that I'd had before called Lima Lama, who we'd renamed a little bit, and he was there also. Yep. So I actually, halfway through the campaign, bought a couple of other ones in that I'd used just to bulk out the squad for the second half of the season, and they came in and did a good job for me. So it felt like a little bit of an end point for some of these players within and around my save, because now, having won the Serbian League, as you've alluded to, we've upped the quality quite considerably where we're playing, and we've gone to Italy. And I'm not quite sure how many of those players would actually make the grade of actually coming with me to Italy. There might be one or two, yeah, but I'm not sure it'd be that many more. So it might be just that particular section of the save is kind of done, and we have to look afresh and move forward in that sense now. It was interesting.
I was going to say, there's certainly got to be a couple of Serbian wonder kids there, because going into my save, they all seem to be Serbian or Croatian, most of the wonder kids.
Well, I will continue to keep an eye out, definitely, that's for sure.
And I do find it strange. I think you obviously mentioned it there, that drop-off when you've won a title or you've got that far, the drop-off is, it's hideous in this version of the game, no matter what you can do, because I think it reminded me the first season with Scarra when we won the league. We were going for a records point total, record number of wins, and we had to win the last game, record number of goals, all the records on the line, and we lost 6-0 in the last game. And it's just against somebody who's like mid-table, and it just makes no sense.
Up until that last quarter of the season, I'd literally lost one game in the league, and it was a bit of a random one. I was a bit miffed at it, to be honest, because I thought there was a moment where we might have gone unbeaten through the season because we were looking so good. But we lost a random game sort of halfway through, and then it just got back to winning ways again. But then in that last section, we probably lost three other league matches or something like that in the run-in, and you just think, I'm not quite sure what's gone on there. It must be the pressure of the situation, but I'm not quite sure it was necessary totally. So when we resigned the position, I'm now getting a reputation for resigning, it seems, Jeb. In my save, the media keep telling me, why do you keep resigning your position? I say, well, because I'm playing an FM save and I've got to move. You don't understand. But yeah, that's an interesting one. I actually, when I first resigned, there was a job available in Italy at a reasonably good club, at Lazio. So I applied for the job at Lazio at the beginning of the summer, and they responded pretty quickly to say, actually, that because of the quality of managers that are all going to be applying for this job, we're not going to offer you an interview. So I was slightly concerned about that as to what I could then attract terms of the level, having been through the likes of Ukraine, Romania, Hungary and Serbia. Would I get one of the top jobs? A few weeks later, another manager walked away from his Italian club and gave me an opportunity to apply for another position at Fiorentina. Now, the interesting things about Fiorentina in the save, because we're in like 2036, is for the last couple of seasons, they finished like 10th and 8th. So they're not a high-end club at all. Mm-hmm. At this particular moment in time. But having looked through them, there's a couple of really good players in there and some solid players in there. Financially, they're doing all right. And eventually, they offered me the job, having gone through the interview process. So that is now where we are. That's where we left it. We'll be coming back on Monday as we sit here on Sunday morning to kind of just rubber stamp a few transfers and figure out whether we can get a couple of new players in and set ourselves going for a new season in Serie A, really. But I don't know how well we're going to go. I don't know what the quality is going to be like around the rest of the league, but we're predicted about a 7th place finish. And I think if I can get anywhere above that in my first season, then I think I've done pretty well. But yeah, the Italian odyssey starts now. It'll be interesting.
Yep, good luck with that. I mean,
yeah,
7th because you're not in that big six and you don't have all the money. It's that way, unfortunately. But
they've got a nice purple kit. So, you know, exactly.
Beautiful purple kit. I mean, the Viola's famous everywhere. I think it was, I think I mentioned beforehand, I was watching Tifo IRL and they were doing sensible transfers. And the JJ Bull, I think, is a host. He's wearing the Nintendo kit. So even if you don't like Liverpool, you can just watch it for that. I mean, just admire that fantastic shirt. But yeah, it's been a long journey, obviously, for you, and obviously now moving over to Italy. I mean, how many steps? So Italy, would you go Italy into France?
Yes, in theory, it would be Italy into France if I succeed in three seasons. If I don't, then it would be into Austria. Yeah. And that would then take me around the Austria through Germany back into France to still use the Channel Tunnel is my intention to get back into England. So I've always had it in my head that I'd like to make that shift across from mainland Europe into England through France if I can.
So
that would just push me slightly sideways through Austria and Germany if I don't do it in three seasons. I think there's a likelihood that I'll struggle to do it in three, but I think if I can get a squad together that I think in the third season can really challenge for a title, then I think I've done pretty well at this point with Fiorentina. Although, you know, after two, it might be, is there another job out there? Who knows? We'll see in Italy.
There's not to stop you swapping jobs. You've done that.
No, it's not something I've done before unless I've been pushed by Zorin Luhansk. But, you know, other than that, it's not something I've deliberately done before in and around the same country, but it's something we can do. So we'll keep an eye out, but, you know, as anybody, I'd quite like to succeed with Fiorentina. Now, if I can, we've set ourselves the challenge. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if it does go wrong while you're in Italy, and then it goes wrong while you're in Austria, and obviously it elongates out this save process, it'd be really nice, like, when FM24 comes around, that you don't have to worry about it, that you can just continue on your save. And that,
now, Rich, if you're listening, Rich, that's a segue.
I can do this. I've done this hosting thing before. I do it on the playoffs. What are we on about? Anyway, so the FM update came out this week. And my word, it was big and it was impressive. Obviously, a few creators went down last weekend. Hush, hush. Nobody knew anything about it. Everyone knew.
Everyone knew they were going.
Everyone knew they were going. But yeah, everyone knew they were going, and everyone outside knew they were going as well. Everyone tried to keep it hush hush, but it just kind of spread around that everyone knew there was an SI meetup. So it was kind of expected something was coming quite big this week, and wow, they delivered, didn't they?
They really did. Yeah, it was a really interesting thing. Just as an overarching thing, we've not seen the likes of this before. That's the simple statement. You know, they've put out articles before about aspects of the game that, you know, might be coming or have just come or whatever it might be. But the whole sort of let's peel back the curtain a little bit and show you where we've been over the last little while, what impact that has made and what that now means for not just this time round, not next time round, but the time after that as well into FM25 is very interesting. We have not seen the likes of it before. It was a very interesting read. We'll go through bits of it as we go. But yeah, I really appreciate that. I feel like it's worth pointing out at the start of our little conversation about it that there are reasons why it feels like they kind of had to do this a little bit. You know, the thoughts towards FM23 have not been universally positive across our FM community that we're part of, and what that means for the wider community of FM players that are not connected to things online, etc. I'm not as clued up on, but ultimately there is a lot of a vocal sect out there that are not happy with 23 and weren't happy with the feature list when it got originally announced, haven't been particularly happy with the way that it currently plays, and have struggled a bit with it. And I think they know that, they've been listening to that, and they wanted to preempt some stuff before we move into 24, and the reasons for that will become clear as we go through the article a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's precisely the thing that came off of it, is refreshingly honest, and I think that's how it was received by a lot of the community as well. They kind of got, we wanted FM23 to be so much more. They wanted FM22 to be so much more, but pandemic hit, and it just kind of put the buffers on everything.
Yeah,
and they weren't happy with the feature sets that came out. They had loads of other things prepared, but they just didn't have time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that. As the saying games runs with the crunch mentality, they can't be working 18-hour days all the days, every day and that type of thing. They've got to look after themselves as well. And I think they want to avoid that as much as they can. They don't want to be one of these game studios that gets lambasted for basically abusing their employees through making them work so hard and making them pushed to deadlines and stuff like that. So that makes perfect sense as well, I think.
It does. I think it's all really important also to say that we get caught up a little bit online and various other places in what's happening in the game and whether it works this way or that way or the other way. And a lot of people forget what we're actually dealing with is people doing a job, creating a creative product for people to enjoy. And that's not an easy process, but there are people at the heart of it. And we have to be aware of that, you know, that they've had some challenges along the way. They've made some decisions along the way. Some of them will work for some people, some of them won't, but we're still dealing with people. And I think the rhetoric towards the organization and the people working with it has not always been particularly positive. And I think that's a real shame because they're just people doing a job. Leave them alone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Put a little bit of pressure on, but yeah, there's only so much. Like you
absolutely.
Feedback's always important, but make it constructive. And I think that's the way. Don't just, oh, why is this happening? It's all your fault. I hate this game. And then you actually look and they play another 1,000 hours of it.
Exactly.
We all dislike this game. I mean, I mean, go back about 10 minutes ago on my save update. I was unbeaten in 7. I was cruising and I lost 8 in a row and it still makes no sense.
Yeah.
But there we are. I mean, I was getting laughed at everybody else that was in working in Berlin with me. So, you do a podcast on this game, don't you? Yeah. You're not very good at it. I was like, well.
I've been sacked at Valencia, sacked at Zora Luhansk, sacked at Brighton in a network save. I've struggled to get out of different countries. Myself and FM23 have not always been best buddy pals, but I love the franchise and I love the people working on it because they do an amazing job.
Fantastic. I'm actually going to hand this bit to you to go through the paragraphs a bit because the article's gone completely missing on the computer that I've got and also on the tablet that I've got. So I'm going to attempt to find
That's fine. Yeah, it's not a problem.
I'll let you lead the way on it.
Yeah, fine. Not a problem. So the article is on the FMFC website. It was written and put out by Miles himself, Miles Jacobson, the lead guy at Sports Interactive, the company behind the game. It's just a very simple outline that we'll go through. The first paragraph or so is just about, I'm here, we're writing a blog, it's going to be interesting, it will look at 23, 24 and 25, so come along for the ride. Basically, we move into a statement from the company, which is basically saying that this time round the FM23 version of the game has been the most played of all time, and there are reasons for that. It's not just that it's become ultra popular on the traditional platforms that have always been used. They've been using new platforms, Jeb, which has been fascinating to see the growth of that. I mean, they talk about 2 million players before the new platforms and potentially 5 million after it. I am a PC gamer these days. I used to have an Xbox, but I can't say I've used it for about a year and a half, if I'm totally honest. I do all of my stuff on PC these days, including my Football Manager. So I've not seen it myself work on consoles or anything else. But it's certainly an interesting shift over to that as well, isn't
it?
Yeah,
definitely. And I think people underestimate the impact of Game Pass as well. It being free on Game Pass, so you can play it on your Xbox, you can play it on your PC free on Game Pass as well. So it's available to everyone. I mean, I have Game Pass, but I think like a lot of FM hardcore, everyone still buys it beforehand to play the 2-week beta, which obviously this time around did cause issues. And I'll be interested to see where they go with the beta and stuff like that. But the PS5 version came out a little bit late, but that's refining onto those type of platforms. I think people don't appreciate how hard it is to make a video game just in general, but to make a game that's multi-platform as well.
Yeah.
And you've got to have a different UI onto a console because you can do so much with your mouse and keyboard, but you can't do it with a controller just as easy. You need to make it friendly for that.
Yeah, that's fair enough. There's a really interesting sentence in the middle of this section, though, having talked about the growth from 2 to 5 million players across the new platforms. They say, however, we cannot ignore this, that some of our long-serving players felt that FM23's progression had not lived up to the standards and expectations we have set over the years. And to be frank, we agree. And that was an interesting statement in the midst of it. They do listen. They do pay attention to what's going on in and around our online FM community. It has been very vocal in terms of what a lot of people have felt about this year's progression. And there is the admittance that, you know, they don't disagree with that. And they do outline a few reasons why that might be, you know, coming out of pandemic and other bits and pieces has just restructured a few things. But also, They are, you know, in a position where they are growing as a company, trying to figure out new ways in which they work and how they go about producing their game. And also, you know, they talk about the fact that there is then a side group that went on to sort of look at how they can develop the game. So they put a small subsidiary group together and set them the task of moving forward. And how do we do that? And I think that was an interesting thing. So the next section after talking about our most played game of all time is about FM24. And I think this is the reason why this particular statement, this particular blog has been put out now, because it enables people to start processing what 24 is going to be like, more than 25. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But 24, because if they did exactly the same thing this time round, of the feature set is not amazing, it isn't the graphical upgrade, it isn't the women's game, it isn't, you know, a couple of other things that the community really wanted, then there would be a lot of incredibly vocal people out there. So they're tempering expectation, aren't they?
Yeah, of course. I think it's I think they've been quite upfront and honest, like I said earlier, with the FM23, like how much of a disappointment it was. And they wanted to bring in all these features. They just didn't have time to do it. And it's in this section of the blog as well, it's quite nice to see that said, we know what the new features are going to be. I mean, we're in July at the moment, which is fantastic. I mean, okay, the game will come out in October, probably beta, and then November for the full release. But it's nice to know that they're all being started to test, and they want to test even more on a wider scale.
Yeah.
And I'm excited what the new features are going to be. I mean, we can probably start a whole rumour mill on them. I mean, set piece creator, please.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Some set piece creator.
See, there's going to be an interesting conversation to be had about the feature list for 24. So before we properly dive into the fact that they talk about 25, the reason they're talking about 25 is because there's big changes there.
Yeah.
So it'll be the question of what can they implement within the current structure of the game that's not going to significantly interfere with the development that they're making with the next iteration of the game, and what they can then take into that from the current iteration, etc. So there's lots of questions there. I mean, set pieces is one. It feels like it's the way in which you sort your set pieces out can be completely overhauled at this point and transitioned into the game, the new version of the game in a couple of years from now, you would imagine. If there's anything else that you think is an interesting thing for them to be putting in the game for 24, then, you know, have your say. But I think, to me, the only thing that I really care about, for me personally, is that this game is more playable.
Yes.
In terms of the match experience particularly, I'm not bothered by the graphics at this point. We'll talk about the graphics move, you know, because there's something coming. But what I am bothered about is that it plays better than it has done this year. And the simple thing that, for me, is not simple for them to fix, I'm sure, but the simple thing for me is I just want defenders to defend.
Yeah.
And if I can get that for 24 and it actually feels like your defensive unit can do something to counteract the attacking unit and vice versa, and it's a little bit more of a tactical struggle to figure some of those things out, then I'll be incredibly happy with that. It doesn't need to change the look of the game. It just needs to change the way it feels to play.
Or goalkeepers to listen to your instructions. It's like,
I've seen some amazing goalkeeper animations in the last week or so, I assure you. But it's a very strange thing, isn't it?
I think there was one that was doing the rounds last week. Was it like a free kick from out wide where somebody attempted to cross it and he just trickles past the keeper's already dove and he just carries on trickling past him?
That
was quite... There's obviously those bits, they're quite deep-rooted as well, so it'd be interesting to see how they combat those. But there's obviously so many bugs out there. Obviously the woodwork bug, which, shout out to RDF, he highlights more than anyone
else. He does indeed, bless him.
I mean, there was the issue with the heading stats, which I think they fixed as well, where some players are winning 80 headers a game, and it's like, I mean, I don't think it would take the toll on various, maybe even concussions and stuff like that, if you're heading the ball that many times. I think there's lots of little things. I think it's always the little things that just get me more than anything else, like the transfer system or the loan system. Every single time you put out a player, it's almost the the director of football or the person who looks after your bids, the amount of times that you just click no, and then it just assumes every single bid that you want, you're saying no to, and then all these bids go and they've gone away, and you miss the boat on it, you miss the trick on it. I think there's some, obviously there'll be really nice features to bring into draft mode and stuff like that, but I think they will leave that alone. I think next time, I think they'll make a couple of subtle changes, but I don't think there's going to be anything groundbreaking on draft mode. It would be nice if they took the focus of, because versus mode is non-existent to me, and I think it's non-existent to probably most of the community. I think actually versus mode actually comes into its own in the later season. So when people have played a full save and you've got a whole team of new gens that are amazing, you can go play against somebody else's whole team of new gens and you can finally settle, I've got the best save team or something that way. But it's, versus mode just hasn't done anything for me. And it'd be nice on a playoffs front or just in a general playing where, well, obviously you as a draft world champion, reigning defending. just make a few more improvements to draft mode, make it just easier to use or easier to set up. And I think we had an absolute nightmare trying to set up the last playoffs. Beto, the Udinese forward, we couldn't get him to be Portuguese. We had to make a custom database to make him Portuguese, even though he is Portuguese. I mean, he's half Ghanaian, but he is Portuguese. So it's those little database updates. And also, poor old Mozza. So poor old Mozza. So shout out to Mozza on this. So on the last one, the database changes, and this is something that he spoke to me about as well. We had a wild card week, which was fantastic. Like, it was the best week we've ever had in the playoffs, like game week. So what happened? You had two groups of four, and then they all played each other once. And then wild card week was you're going to play somebody else, somebody from the other group, and they could stop you qualifying. And it worked perfectly. Viking big meaty Dan got through with one win and a draw, but it's just because the other results went against him. There's a clip, if you go out in the FM playoffs, it's still there, obviously, with Carr and Lima, where they both went for it, and it's the best bit of commentary we've probably had, the best bit of action that we've had on the playoffs from Dr. Benji. But for Mozza to make that database, how he made those transitions happen, he spent about 2 days and two nights trying to make it happen and testing and various other things. And it was just difficult. And then it fell over again in the semifinals because it drew the semifinals wrong.
Yes, absolutely. There's always something. Yeah, it always has its say somewhere.
So, instead of having the best two teams, well, let's say it might have been the best two teams of the final, but they missed out. It should have been first playing second, but it's first playing second in each group, so they just played each other again. It was a shame, but I think they are working on those database, the editor, and making it easier for people to make those edits and stuff like that, which is really important for people who do custom clubs or the custom saves and all those experiments and stuff. Make that easier for people, so all that fabulous content that you see from the likes of Tom FM, Zealand, and like many, obviously all the guys from the manager's seat is just seeing all those fantastic bits of content that they bring out and all the little tests and stuff, make it easy for them to do that.
And I think, there's some crossover into sort of the modding community within our game as well, which is incredibly strong with the databases and the skins and other bits and pieces. And I think there's some concern that hasn't been made particularly easy for a lot of people over the last couple of iterations of the game. So maybe as we move forward in the next couple of versions, it might become easier for them, possibly. We'll see. But I kind of hope so, because what they bring to the community is pretty strong, I would suggest, overall. There's a couple of little bits in this section of FM23, the last 20 years realized and the last of its kind, I think is really important. So they're building to a point where 20 years of FM. So, I mean, I was playing Championship Manager before FM as well.
I'm not really 24.
We won't tell Rich, it's fine. But it's been around for a long time. But the fact that at this point is a 20-year point, this will be the love letter to this version of FM coming out in 24, basically, as good as it can be. And they talk about some of the new bits and pieces. Let me just find what I'm looking for. Um, Nope, it's gone from my head completely. I can't find
that trade again, is it? Like last week.
I don't know what happened there, Jeb. It was so weird. I was talking, going, I know I'm not making a point. I don't know what my point is.
Coming round to make a really serious. Gone. Yeah, exactly. But I think the one thing that we did discuss, obviously, as the segue, was that carrying on a save game. That's
the
new feature. I mean, it's. It could be great for you. I mean, if you do end up going through Austria, really Switzerland and everywhere else.
But yeah,
hopefully it doesn't end up that way.
When I'm in South Africa at the end of the cycle, you know, it's gone very wrong for me and I'm going to have to carry it on into 24, basically.
Yeah, but it's for people doing those pentagons or people doing those, Tony doing his British Steel Challenge where he's trying to win everything. Sure. I think it's those continuing and it just almost gives people like, right, I want to get used to FM24, but I want a familiar environment, and you've got it from your last save as well, and hopefully those features just drop in nice and easy and don't disrupt the game as much.
And no, absolutely.
It's almost January, right, new year, let's go for it, everything else we want to do. I mean, some people will always already be planning what they're doing for the beta, what they're going to do for the main save. It's
sure.
I mean, I'm going to go on GeoGuessr again, that's just spoilers.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think I know what I'm doing for my main save of 24, but I haven't thought about the beta yet at all.
Yeah.
I think it's a really interesting new feature, isn't it, to be able to transition games over. And I think it's going to impact not just the likes of us as content creators and putting stuff out on Twitch and YouTube, etc. I think just for the casual player of the game, that you can bring a save that you've potentially been doing for three versions of the game in the future and still have it with you if you want to dip back into it and do another season here and there whilst you're doing other saves in the brand new iteration of the game as well and stuff. I think that's a lovely thing.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, give it a decade and somebody will have broken the record for the longest FM save ever in the world of ever, won't they, in some form, taking it through the various iterations of the game this time around rather than just playing it on an old version. But yeah, interesting. Very, very interesting. And there's also, it will enable us to go cross platforms and all sorts of other bits and pieces in the future, you know, as well, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's like I've got a friend who's still playing FM12. I doubt you'll be able to carry that save over into FM24, but like he still plays FM12 because he loves it he loves that save that much. But it's a great way like to carry it if you are just a casual player. And I think that they mentioned it, like if you're on Game Pass or Apple Arcade and stuff like that. And it is, some people will just sit and play it on the train on the way to work or maybe just while the waiting for various things, etc. And you play mobile version of the game. But if you can carry it over, it's fantastic. So you just don't have to ruin that little progress. And the amount of saves that you just leave on cliffhangers, almost like Bournemouth last year, I was Champions League semi-final, still sat there that save, and I think I dived in, like went back to it, just I can't remember any of this. Well, like, wow, we're all these amazing players that I'm doing, look, the defenders are defending everything because I've got an actual defense. Exactly.
But the heady days
of all those things that they just get, oh, new game's out, bye, on the scrap heap, we never see you again, and it's gone again. So yeah.
But so we've dealt with the thought that 23 is their most successful ever in a lot of ways because of the new platforms. We've talked about 24 being a bit of a love letter to the FM franchise and an end point, but it's not the end point of the franchise. There will be a 25.
Yep.
But here's the thing, FM25, the next chapter, will be like nothing before. And this is the thing that will get everybody excited about FM moving forward. There is a lot to unpack about where they might be heading over into FM25. But very simply, within this section of the blog, it says, as we've mentioned before, we'll be closing a chapter of 20 years of the top management simulation, but it's far from over. For many years, we've been planning the next step, the revolution of Football Manager, something we haven't claimed since the 3D match engine first came back in 09. Yeah. So that was when the 3D match engine was brought in. And I think this is the thing that's going to get everybody excited. For a little while, they've had a smaller group of people within their organization looking at how do we move this franchise forward? What do we do to change it? And where is that going to take us? What have you picked up from what they've been talking about in terms of what those potential new changes could be for 25? And how excited are you about those changes?
I mean, it's going on the Unity engine, which is obviously one of the, if you're unfamiliar, it's one of the biggest engines that people build games on. There's Unity, there's Unreal, there's obviously mm-hmm. a few others that are custom made in various publishers, but games on Unity engine that people are familiar with, like bigger games anyway, I would say City Skylines, which is, I think, everyone's alternative to Football Manager. I mean, if you're not sure what to play, it's either that or GeoGuessr. And then mm-hmm. the other one is Fall Guys. I mean, I'd love to see some Fall Guys animations on some of these defensive calamities. I mean, it'd make for great content. I mean, let's see that crossover content as well, Fall Guys and Football Manager.
Nice.
But yeah, it makes those fantastic games look brilliant. I mean, Rust is mm-hmm. another one that's built on the Unity engine, just to give you an idea of where the graphics are. But I think mm-hmm. they still need to, and I think they've already said it, it's like, we're still going to cater for those people who play on potatoes or mm-hmm. the laptops, or the people who just sit there on the laptop and just casually play. That'll still be available to you as well.
Yeah,
I don't think they'll make the specs where you need a 40 series NVIDIA card to play it. Or, well, I hope not anyway, because I don't have one, but you do now, Kev. But yeah.
This is true.
Yeah, exactly. But to make it accessible to everyone, I think that's still really important, and I think that's always been doing. But it's those people who play hardcore and they want to do the content creation, they want to see those nice animations, they want to see everything looking shiny and new. It's going to be a revelation, I think, and it's like just to have that intuitive UI, and then obviously more than anything that everyone wants is just the player animations and the graphics to change. But
when you talk about UI, tell me what you mean.
So the user interface, so how your menus are, so how you click through, how everything works, and make it. I think it, like the skin, the people who make the skins and stuff, make it really nice mm-hmm. to find all that information. And even the basic skin, to be fair, has all that information, but it's knowing where to click, and I think it's making that a lot more friendly, and it especially for beginners as well, because Football Manager is the most daunting game ever if you put that in front of somebody. Mm-hmm. Obviously, not to my 8-year-old nephew. He's storming it with Arsenal in his save. He's
nice.
He's in deep already. So, but it's getting used to making it easy for people to start with, and it's particularly because it's a new engine, a new game. People. Mm-hmm. People need it to be easy because sometimes change scares people.
Yeah. I think there's within this paragraph of the next chapter, it is all just about the excitement of the fact that they have plans, they have got things that they've been looking at, and they are moving forward. And to do it, Project Dragonfly is the thing that came out of that. Project Dragonfly was set up a few years ago, a small group of people looking at the whole setup. There is a section here, a deep dive into our technology, where they talk about all of those bits of technology and where the Unity engine is going to improve stuff, etc. The thing that's really important here, though, is it touches on what we've already spoken about, but this is it in their own words in that sense. There's a paragraph that basically says the original plan was to deep dive into the potential and then propel the learnings forward of this new group with the aim of looking at Football Manager 22. That was when they originally had it earmarked that there were going to be big improvements into the whole franchise, and it didn't happen due to the pandemic and other bits and pieces. It all just sort of went a little bit awry. So this is an interesting thing. For the last couple of years, I think a lot of people gave SI a lot of credit for getting their games out during the pandemic and making the improvements to them and all that kind of stuff. But this was the bit that it funneled into something where all of that had an impact. We weren't necessarily seeing it at the time, and now we are, as to how it's all reached this point. But 25 is on its way. It will be here in a blink of an eye. New chapter, new engine. The Unity engine comes. It changes the way the UI looks. It changes the way the match engine looks. I am sure alongside that, they'll have done an awful lot on the not just the graphics engine, but the match engine and how the game plays. And within that, there are other bits and pieces that is coming. So a couple of other headlines in here: a truer reflection of real life football with new animation tech, which is amazing. And then we get to another one where we welcome the women's game into the FM franchise for the first time. Now, this is something that's been talked about, I think, Is it since 2021 was the first time they talked about it coming?
2020, 2021, and I think they've talked about it coming. And I think it's going to be fantastic. Like, it gives that option. I think somebody even mentioned the other day, like, the first time female managers were in was 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To the option to make your character a female manager. And I think, like, women's football is obviously going from strength to strength across the world. I mean, the World Cup's coming up this month. Mm-hmm. As we speak, over in Australia and New Zealand. I mean, that's going to be really well watched after the success of the Euros. And it's the even like the Women's Super League, I mean, that had a pretty nail-biting finish this season.
It really did.
It's more accessible, obviously, because it's on the free-to-air channels over here in the UK as well, so you can watch it there. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely becoming just part and parcel. Like, I think every single kit launch that I've seen for a Premier League team has had the women's just integrated. It's just like, this is our kit launch for the whole season. Yep. And I think the women's football is going to be like, I think what people don't realize, because I think people have said, why is it not out, mm-hmm. you've got a whole database basically to build of every single women's team, and it must be even more difficult, because I think like more and more clubs are now adding a women's team, or they're just slowly bringing them up to into the leagues, into mm-hmm. the league system. And obviously I think the Super League is about to change anyway to a different name, etc. But yeah, it's definitely game changing, obviously. And it's going to be interesting, like how many journeys get taken down there. And I think it's been refreshing to see the positivity for it, but it's also been absolutely hideous to see the negativity for it. And I think, if you don't, I don't know, if you don't like it, I'm not a fan of you, I don't really want to interact with you, but you don't need to talk about it that much. It's not going to bother you. Like I said, if it bothers you, don't play it. It's as simple as that. Carry on playing your normal save. If you don't want to go experiment with that, it's really disappointing, like, to see some of the hatred, just the misogyny and various other things happening on various platforms. I think Twitter, I mean it might be dead by the time the podcast comes out. Twitter, we don't know, but
it might be.
I think I've done my 600 tweets for the day or whatever. Set my limit to yesterday. But it's just a shame. It's just a shame that still exists, but unfortunately that just exists throughout life, unfortunately.
It's really important that we as a podcast basically just say football is a game for everybody. Yep. FM is a game for everybody. Everybody should be able to be depicted in the game in some form. If there are iterations of football out there, i.e. like the women's game, that are growing all the time and becoming more impactful in the space of football, then it is right that they get brought into the game. If you choose not to put the women's leagues into your saves, well, that's your choice. Nobody's going to make you do anything. It's, you know, but ultimately it is right that we support it. It's going to be a fantastic addition. I, for one, will have it loaded in all the time, and who knows where it will take me in all of my different save ideas that I've got going for the next couple of iterations of the game. And really, really love the fact that it widens the opportunities for more people to find the game and play the game and enjoy the game. And if you can't quite get on board with that, then basically just jog on, for goodness sake.
Exactly.
Get over yourself.
I mean, those I was about to say journeyman, journey person. Let's go. Those journey person event like saves are going to be amazing. I mean, you can literally jump between the women's and the men's game. You can jump between country to country. It almost refreshes that a little bit. I mean, I don't think the British Steel Challenge will be as fun. I mean,
good luck with that one, Tony.
because obviously the Welsh, like, even looking at the Champions League draw came out yesterday, I think, for the Women's League, and it's Glasgow, Sherborne and Cardiff are all in the same group, and I mean that's quite exciting. So it's those extra tournaments, all those different things. I mean, does a pentagon now become a double pentagon? Well, decathlon. There you go. Does it become?
So
you do a decathlon. It's all those. There's extra things coming to it. And to be fair, what better place to launch it than FM25, which is obviously going to be on this fantastic new graphics engine and new,
absolutely,
just completely new game, or Football Manager 2. Do you think that's what they're just going to call it?
Why not? In a way, exactly. I think, you know, if they're going for a rebrand in that sense. But I think, you know, that is an important thing. The thought that FM22 was going to be potentially a linchpin for some of these things to come into the game in the original instance, but it didn't quite work out. The reason that it's important moment for the women's game to be introduced at that point is because, as you said before, it's not just about the database of creating the women play the women's players and all of the different attributes that they've got and how that works. It's not just about the fact that in-game you have to change a lot of the coding that talks about he and him in-game and change some of that. It's also they're going to look different. The worst thing they could have ever done is taken the male models in the game and put long hair on them and said, look, there's women in the game. It would have been dreadful. They don't run the same. They don't kick the same. They don't. It, nothing of it is the same. Yeah. So they have to create this from scratch, which is why it's taking a little while, but also why it's important that it's coming out at the point where the new engine of Unity is being used, because they can then fulfill the promise that they've got within it. So I think it's absolutely the right move for them to make. It has felt like a little bit over the last year specifically that it should be coming quicker than maybe that it is, but now we kind of understand a little bit as to why that is. I think it's really important. And so yeah, 25 will have a lot of new features about it, I am absolutely sure, and there'll be loads of stuff in there that we can't even think about what they might be improving or changing or reshaping. But the last little section of the blog is very, very important that we do go over, I think, and just there is one section at the end that says the big question. And the big question, in to sum it up, basically says, when are we going to see this stuff? How soon are we going to get a little bit of a look at 25 and other bits and pieces? And what they basically say, again, to temper expectation and bring you down a little bit to say, this is definitely how it's going to go, you will now not hear too much about 25 until the middle part of 24. That's because now it is, but now everything that you're going to be seeing over the next few months will be directly impacting 24, because whatever the magnificence of 25 turns out to be, there is a game in the interim. It is going to be an improvement on what we've got, we hope, in a lot of, you know, those little ways. Those people out there that have always been saying, I don't... Please hear me. I'm not saying this. Those people out there that are saying, I don't want the women's game, it's taking away a lot of the resources in the company to work on the bits and pieces that they should have been working on and fix those little fixes. 24 could potentially do that. You might get a lot of those little fixes ironed out, sorted out, bedded in before it moves over to 25. So we might be getting that anyway in that sense. But that's what we're now going to be dealing with. The next few months, 24-5 will get parked. We are into the cycle of preparing for 24, and that's what's coming next. So they did say Q2, so quarter two of 24, you'll start to see a few little bits of 25. So it is coming. You might have to be a little bit patient. But for now, there is a new version of FM on the horizon in October, November, and it should still be pretty good, I would suggest.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there was one question that you asked me before the podcast as well, and they mentioned it in the blog, is they're exploring games as a service.
Ah, yes.
And does this FM25, is this the last game where you buy a full version of the game and then you just play in a subscription add-on? I mean, it might just end up being you're paying £4 or £5 a month or something along those lines to play the game. So they just keep those updates coming in that way. And it'll be interesting to see which way they go with it. It's, maybe it's just adding additions in. I'm not sure. They played with various challenges where you could buy before and various different database changes. I remember from a few seasons ago, obviously the in-game editor, if you want to do that, and save scum, more than welcome to. Obviously really helpful if you're doing playoffs drafts and we need to reset morales and stuff like that. But yeah, and I think that games as a service, I think that's going to be something that I think few people are already talking about. People have already mentioned having a subscription model. It might make sense the way a lot of games are going. I mean, I've always said FIFA should be FIFA or EA football should just be free now, because the amount of money people spend on Ultimate Team and various other things, that's where the money goes. That's where the money should go into there. I don't think Football Manager is going to be free, but I think I won't be surprised if it's like a 6 month, like you pay for a base game, but it's a little bit less, and then you can add on, you can pay those subscriptions, and it's the cost of a couple of Twitch subscriptions or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Could work out quite nicely.
And there's going to be a lot of people out there that don't like change in any way. And potentially some of that will scare a few people and they'll think that they're being fleeced in some form. I suspect there'll be a lot of ways in which things will change in the next couple of years in terms of FM. But I think this is where you have to have a little bit of faith in the group of people that are making the game. They want to create a great game. They want it to be of benefit and great value for money for the people playing it. Because, I mean, look, I paid, what was it, 35, 40 quid or whatever it was last October. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours out of this version of FM and will continue over the next few months. That's their intention, is to continue that. What they're not going to do is put things in place that are going to turn people away and turn people off and make them not want to play it, because that would be stupid. So we have to have a little bit of faith in them. But yeah, I mean, there might be some changes like that in the future.
It might even be the way that they do it's Football Manager 25, or as I joked, Football Manager 2. But Football Manager 3 would come out in 2028, and you're pay a season pass or something along those lines for each new season that comes out, where they add in various big updates, but it's nothing where they're going, here's a whole new game every year. And I think that's where people got a bit miffed between the change between 21 to 22 to 23 as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, unfortunately, I've not played in a Football Manager to be as annoyed as the bigger creator has. But not to be fair, I say I have not played enough. I'm still 700 hours into this game. And it's, like I said, it's an exciting time. And I think FM25 is going to be very, 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 very big and very changing. It might lose some of those people that played it for 30 years, but it might bring in lots and lots of new people to the game, which will be fantastic for the community. FM24, as you said as well, all those, I'm hoping to hear more and more about these new features. I mean, carrying saves over is going to be great, but it's adding in those extra bits that we want to see, all those little things that have annoyed us for quite a while. But I'm excited, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited. I have always been a great lover of this franchise. I've played it basically since the beginning. 23 might not have been my favorite. I might have struggled a little bit, but I'm really excited for the group of people that are working hard to move this forward and take it in a new direction. And we'll see what happens in 25. But yeah, bring on 24 and we'll see. Excellent stuff, though. It was a really interesting blog. It was a really interesting way for them to communicate. I like it. More transparency, more of that type of stuff, please. And then I think we can all get on the same page in a better way. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think aside from the negativity that we don't agree with as a podcast, and I think pretty much the whole community doesn't agree with anyway, it was a really positively received update as well, and that was really refreshing to see. I think everyone just kind of saw where it went. There was a few jokes around. I mean, like, I think Ben made a joke about, right, Glory Hunter can carry on into next season. I mean, it's those saves that have annoyed people, but they wanted to carry on. Yeah. I think it's an exciting future. And I think what we'll do now, because we'll just move on very quickly, we're going to play one round of the football game.
No, are we? Oh,
no, yeah.
Okay.
Right. So the category is Spanish managers.
Yes.
Who manage Belgium?
Oh, I mean that's an ask, isn't it? I mean that's a big ask.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only one name that springs to mind. I'm totally honest. Is it Roberto Martinez?
Yes, it is. Well done, Kev. You win this week. Well done. Fantastic.
That was great. I love this game now. It's brilliant. Yeah, let's do that every week.
Exactly. Right. I don't know about you, Kev, but that feels like a podcast.
Oh, that's weird coming from you, exactly. Jeff. I don't know how to respond. I'll say yes, although just before we leave, we should probably talk about the 29th of July.
Yes.
And just go through the details of Slough again. Callum, the wonderful man that is Callum, putting on a fantastic day of FM content of a different sort in Slough. Come and join us for the day. It will probably cost you about a tenner on the door or in pre-tickets or whatever it is that Callum ultimately ends up doing. We'll give you more details details of that over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But, it will cover costs, but it will also raise some good money for the charity Mind, which is a mental health organisation. So there's lots of positivity about it. It's going to be a fantastic day for the wider community to get together. Please think about coming if you are free to do so and able to get to Slough. It's going to be great.
Yep, and it's something I'm discussing this week as well. There will be a recording of the game, and there will be a recording of the podcast, but hopefully we'll be able to stream out the game as well. We're working on it. We're definitely going to have a really good commentary team, so a professional commentator and then some others getting involved.
Riffraff.
Yes, some riffraff just basically leading them astray. So we'll see how that one goes along. I mean, there's even talk of us potentially having a Jeff Shreves type on the sidelines, but we'll see if that one works out. That might Indeed. Be a bit overly ambitious, but we'll see. But yeah,
if anybody's got any interest in coming and joining us, please let yourselves be known. We'd love to know that you're coming and build up to the thought that this is going to be a good day for the community. So yeah, get on that. Come and join us. Be part of it.
Yep, and yeah, sure. And like I said, keep an eye out on Callum's Twitter because he is announcing more players, I think, daily. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some players that are getting announced. I didn't even know they could play football, but we'll see.
Maybe they don't either.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I mean, I thought about joining that, but I've seen some of them just make a lot of bold claims. I was like, I don't think I can keep up with them, so I'm going to avoid the football playing. I might come on for a half-time penalty shootout or something like that. Who knows? Nice. We'll do it that way. But yeah, it's going to be an exciting day. Obviously, all of us will be there. Maybe some former podcast hosts there as well. We'll see, see how that goes on.
Fantastic. That feels like a podcast.
That does feel like a podcast. And if you are listening to us on the Patreon, if it goes out on there, well, I think it might come out a little bit late because Rich needs to get home from his camping trip to put it out on there. But no network save this week. It will be back next week, I do believe so.
Yes.
Which
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, Kev, do you want to tell us where we can find you?
Yeah, sure. You can find me at the United City FM, both on Twitter and Twitch. I'm on Twitch pretty much every weekday afternoon, 3 till 5pm. We are currently beginning our Italian Odyssey with Fiorentina. Come and join us. Come and join the fun. This last week or so has been an amazing time on the stream going through Serbia. Will it be as easy in Italy? No. Will it be more painful for me? Yes. Come and enjoy the fun. I'm sure it'll be great. What about you, Jeb? What are you up to? Where are you up to? And how regularly are you going to be up to it?
So I am in Berlin till Tuesday, so I will be back this week. I might throw a little cheeky stream in on Thursday. I might be Pescara. Who knows what's happened in between that then and there. Hopefully I'm doing a European journey by that stage. But yeah, twitch.tv/Jebberoo, the Jebberoo on Twitter, obviously Rich Owens FM and Y Callum on both platforms as well to find out there. And also hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, tell a friend, all those things, please, really. And we just want to get over that line for 300 because you get the a cappella version of the song, and it also just helps us get out there and bring this lovely podcast to you all, and of which we are going to bring to you live on the 29th. But yeah, that's us done. A bit of a weird podcast. We said we were going to do a short one, but we've gone over an hour, so that's impressive. Right.
Nice.
Anyway, I better start waving because that's my thing, so I'll do that now. And I will say goodbye and have a great week, and we will see you next time for another Football Manager Therapy. Bye for now.
Bye.